The idea of being a lazy person is so contrary to our persona that we'd rather not get there. And we'd be like, no, 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 I'm going to try harder. I'm going to get this app. I'm going to get this coach. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to make sure I have accountability. All the tricks that we use to become more productive, that's what we do when we don't want to accept that we feel lazy.
Welcome to Partners in Sublime, where we explore the teachings of depth psychology and Vedic philosophy to achieve the highest levels of personal growth and self-actualization. Join me as we tap into the unconscious for intuitive guidance and creative direction. I'm your host, Shagun Chopra. Let's begin.
Hello, and welcome to Partners in Sublime. Today, we're going to talk about motivation, or rather lack thereof. Why do we act lazy? Why do we get so demotivated? Why can't we just find the energy, the strength to do what needs to be done? Why do we procrastinate and live in this space where we just can't get anything done? If this resonates with you, or if it's something you've experienced in the past, just listen on and you're going to learn something so different about this phenomenon that it will blow your mind away. So let's get started. The first thing I want to clarify is that feeling lack of motivation and not wanting to do anything, not feeling like you could do anything, might look like laziness to others, and people might look at you and be like, oh, you just don't have strong enough willpower. And that's not really true. And that's not the right way to look at a lack of motivation. But before we go into what exactly is going on, I would like to share a personal example of when I felt demotivated. So normally my persona, you know, the one I have been trying to break off is of the doer, always doing things, always being on top of things. It's helped me manage a lot of things in my life, but it comes with its own downsides, as every persona does. The greatest persona eventually becomes limiting. But this is back in the day. This is at least 8 years ago or something. I was an MBA student. I had just finished my summer internship at a tech company in San Francisco. And I really liked it there and I really wanted to go back. But I was told at the end of my internship that it's going to take us a few months to see if we can bring you back. So it wasn't like, no, we won't hire you. It wasn't like, yes, we'll hire you, like what was happening with some of my classmates. But it was like, we would love to hire you potentially if we can find a headcount for you. So obviously that's not something you want to hear after, you know, you worked really hard over the summer. But in my heart, I was like, I think this is going to work out. And if it didn't work out, it gave me a sense of what I would like to work out so that I could have the life that I wanted. So when I came back to campus for second year of school, very uncharacteristically, I missed all the deadlines of all major big tech companies that were recruiting from campus. I think I was doing an exchange program, so I didn't have access to the systems, and I kept telling myself, oh, I'll get to it. I'll get access to the career management system. I'll do it. And a week passed by, 2 weeks passed by, 3 weeks passed by, and I just like didn't get to it. Finally, one weekend, I was like, okay, enough is enough. Let's get access and let's apply to these jobs. And mind you, I was on student visa. There were very few companies at the time who would hire someone like me who had never worked in the US before and would give me a job and would sponsor my visa. So my pool of companies was limited. It was really a handful. I could count them on my fingers. You'd be thinking, oh, if this is that important to me, I should be doing something about it. I should be on top of it. And I was earlier, but something about this time, I just couldn't get myself to get access to the system, find these jobs, apply to them. Eventually, once I got access, 3 due dates had already passed and one was fast approaching. And I was like, oh no, I am not going to be able to like apply to these jobs. And what have I just done? It was such a crisis moment. So anyway, I panicked. I reached out to someone at the Career Management Center, explained to them that I couldn't get access. I'm an exchange student. May I please apply after deadline? And he asked me to write an apology letter and apply, which I did. After all was said and done, and I did get those applications in, I asked myself, what was that about? Why couldn't you just do the thing you said you wanted to do? You want to work in big tech in the US, and these are your choices. Why wouldn't you just apply? And the more I discovered within me why I was doing what I was doing is because, one, I felt intuitively that my internship would convert to a full-time job. Second, I knew that this job would give me the freedom to be in the San Francisco Bay Area and pursue some of my other interests. There's a few things that I had my eyes on, which was volunteering at the crisis line, going to school and getting a certification in Ayurveda. And I knew that this type of lifestyle would only be possible with the job that I was going for. And I did not want to apply to those really demanding tech jobs that would take me to another city. And understandably, this part within me was protesting. But the protest is not loud and clear, okay? It doesn't sound like, oh, hey, Shagun, don't do this because this is what you really want. Do this instead. That sound is so faint, we can't even hear it. Protest just looks like this silent withdrawal of energy from the things that you think you should be doing. So in my case, I should have been applying, but I just couldn't find the energy to. And while we're on the topic of energy, this happens a lot. People say, oh, my life is already so busy. I'm already so tired, so burnt out. How am I going to find the energy to do X, Y, Z? Energy is not a finite resource. You can just tap into the universe and get as much of it as you like if you have a strong why. And that strong why needs to be aligned with the purpose of your life, the reason you were born, your dharma. You need to be able to really feel that this is what you're on earth for, and unlimited resources and energy will be available to you. But try doing something that's not your dharma, and very soon you will start to deplete those energy reserves, and no amount of willpower eventually would be able to get you out of the state you're in. So this state of malaise, this feeling of I'm so lazy, I'm unmotivated, I don't want to do anything, I'm confused about what I should do. These are just different ways of your psyche just quietly resisting whatever is on your agenda. And the worst thing you can do is push harder and try to override, whip yourself into thinking, nope, I'm going to get an accountability partner. I'm going to get an executive coach who's going to make sure I hit my goals. You really don't want to do that, because the more pressure you put on yourself, the worse your motivation levels are going to get. So what you want to do is this thing is arising for me. And I need to look at it and I need to see what it's telling me. And the answers might really surprise you. And that's what today is all about. So let's start with, what does lack of motivation look like? Some people use the word burnout. I think that's pretty accurate to describe, I don't feel like doing anything. So it's across the board. Sometimes it's, I don't feel like doing this particular thing. So you feel unmotivated to do that. You might feel just lazy in your body. The body feels heavy. You might feel like you don't even know what you should be doing. Any and all forms of this phenomenon can emerge. I'm sure you've experienced some of that in the past yourself. And it's all just your psyche withdrawing energy from whatever it is that your ego is trying to pursue. So ego believes, as I've mentioned in past episodes, ego believes that I have a blueprint. This is what I need to survive and thrive in the world. This is what I learned from society, from culture, from my parents, and this is how I'm going to try to be. And the ego is gung-ho on this one objective. This is how I have to be. And that have to be is what we call the persona. So ego is always trying to strengthen the persona, always trying to make sure that things stay the same fundamentally. And the other side of the persona, the shadow, which is part of our unconscious, is always trying to emerge. It's trying to like poke its head and try to come alive, but the ego keeps trying to suppress it. So every time the unconscious tries to share something about like, hey, here's what I would like, the ego just quashes it. And it keeps happening, it keeps happening, it keeps happening. And then one day you get to a point where you're like, I just have no motivation. And it's happening because your psyche is, I have no energy to power this. I cannot give you energy for this pursuit that I consider futile. Like, why are you doing this, person? Why are you chasing this mold of the ego when you instead could be connected to your higher self and fulfilling your purpose? So you can think of it as a silent protest where the psyche is like, nope, I don't want to participate in this. What should you do at this time? I think if you peek behind the curtain, you will see that whatever it is that you're trying to do or that takes up space in your life is just not serving you anymore. And it's time to go back to the drawing board and see who you would really like to be. Not the persona that you've come to be over all these years, but who would you really like to be? And the answer might totally surprise you. It might be something you had never thought of, or it might be something you deep down know from a long, long time, like I did, and you just keep saying, now's not the time for this, now's not the time for this, I need to make money, I need to keep this job, I need to get into school, whatever it is that you're striving toward. So once you do uncover what it is that you should rather be doing, if you were connected to that inner voice, you will realize that slowly but surely that lack of motivation will disappear, energy will start to come back, and you'll almost find yourself a new person. And this process is called individuation. And people arrive at individuation in different ways. Sometimes it's a really big crisis, but sometimes it's, I don't feel okay. Things look successful on the outside, but I don't feel okay. And it's the starting point. And if you answer that call of adventure, you will begin that process and you will be totally liberated on the other side. So obviously, most of this understanding comes from Carl Jung's works. He's the one who came up with the concept of persona and shadow. And when it comes to laziness or lack of motivation, just like any other emotion, he wanted us to go toward it and not run away from it. There's a little quote I will say from Jung. We cannot change anything unless we accept it. Condemnation does not liberate, it oppresses. So we really cannot change our burnout, our lack of motivation, our laziness, unless we accept it. And so many times we just stop there. The idea of being a lazy person is so contrary to our persona that we'd rather not get there. And we'd be like, no, I'm going to try harder. I'm going to get this app. I'm going to get this coach. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to make sure I have accountability. All the tricks that we use to become more productive, that's what we do when we don't want to accept that we feel lazy. And I've done that too. I'm guilty of reading so many books on productivity, so many articles on productivity. I thought that life was about conquering these wasted spaces between things, and every minute of your day should have a job, as they say. And there is no room to just be, to let your mind wander, for it to take you to where it needs to go. It's like you have to manage your day so very well to make sure that your ego feels like it's completely in control. So I've been there, I've done that. And it's not a very healthy way of being if your goal is to transcend your ego, which is the goal of individuation, to go get past the ego, get past the persona, and realize your full self, your true self, and be whole. So now we're going to listen to a coaching call with Sarah. Sarah works in big tech. She wants to have a passion project on the side, but she feels that so many things are limiting her and she just cannot get herself motivated to do some of the things that she wants to do. So I thought about chopping up this session a bit and only showing the part where we talk about why she's feeling unmotivated. But I really think that this whole session is such a great example of how our persona gets constructed, all the things we do to keep up with it, and the multifaceted nature of the ego. Because it's not like the ego will come up with the same way of protecting the persona every single time. Our ego is so smart, beyond belief smart. And sometimes it can surface as confusion. Are you sure you know what you're doing? Sometimes it can surface as laziness, like, oh, you don't have the energy to do that. That's too much. Sometimes it can come up with the rationale of the external world, like, oh, if only this outside thing will change, then I can change. I don't mind changing. But all of these are just ways of the ego keeping you stuck in your circumstances. And this coaching session is also a good testament to, you know, we say in the coaching world, the thing is not the thing. So sometimes when these sessions start, the client can really be in a place where they think they know what the problem is, because all of us have a sense of, oh, what we would like to change to make us feel less of whatever we're feeling. But as you explore, you see that there's so much more, there's so many layers to uncover. And then the real answers are always there, but it takes skill to excavate them and it takes openness. So I was really happy that Sarah was really open during these sessions. And you can see that as the session progressed, she was able to get to the thing that was really obstructing her. And it's not something you would guess. So listen all the way, and then I'll meet you on the other side of it.
Hey, Sarah. What's
Hi,
going
Sean.
On?
You know, work stuff.
Work stuff. Tell me more.
So just as an introduction, I work in a big tech company, and I have been here for almost 7 years, six and a half years now.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been a really long time, and I've been on the same team, same larger team. My role has changed within that team a few times over, and I've been able to create a pretty strong position around like incubation. Like, I'm known for starting new projects, starting new products, landing new programs. And so that is my niche in the team, and I have been able to change my role, and it's always been interesting for the past 6 years and 6.5 years, which is what has kept me going here. However, I feel like I've not been, and my team, my managers over and over again have recognized this, that I haven't been able to get that recognition that I deserve, like in terms of promotions, etc. And so I feel like I am in my head a lot further behind than where I could be or where I should be. It doesn't seem that way in terms of my age and my time in the company. From an average point of view, it is kind of okay, but I feel like I should be much further ahead. And so that's one part of my life. And then I've always been someone who always has like a passion project or like a startup going on the side. And that's always been my thing for like growing up and stuff. And since I've moved to the US, like I am bound by visa law. So there's like restricted number of things that I can do. And that combined with, I think that is that it kind of like discourages me or makes me a little bit more lazy. I don't know if lazy is a good word, but like I am not feeling as inspired to like push myself into finding the things that I can do and really like put in the time and effort to do it, even though I think there are still opportunities that I can tap into as side projects, despite the fact that I can't like earn money outside of Microsoft. Like I can't do another active job outside of Microsoft. So I think that also makes me really dissatisfied with kind of where I'm at with my life, because all in all, I want like, yes, the like profession to me is a big part of my life. I love working and I want to be able to feel that satisfaction. And I feel like in the last couple of years, I've tried to move on to another role or like, but I've been pretty picky about where I want to go, because I don't want to go into like something just for the sake of getting out of this role, because I do enjoy the work over here and I do enjoy working with the people over here. I just don't enjoy that I'm not getting promoted, I'm not seeing that career progression. But for some reason or the other, even though those teams have seeked me out, it just doesn't work out, which has been kind of frustrating. And then on the personal like or like passion project front, it's just like not working out. I haven't found enough motivation to be able to stick to a project or stick to a program or volunteering or whatever it is to make something out of it, make something substantial, side project-ish or like passion project-ish out of it. And then all of this is resulting into not feeling that I'm not going to gain that financial independence soon enough. And that is making me frustrated as well, because I would like to now start living in my own place. And I don't know when that's going to happen. So these are sort of my frustrations going on in my head. And I know like my manager's trying, my manager's manager's trying, like the job market is low. At least I'm in a stable job, and I keep telling myself that, and it's just still not feeling like I'm like we had 10% of our company laid off today. And so like it drives more fear in me that should I be looking at something, like I should be happy that I'm in this place, but I'm like, I don't want to just be like content with I have a job, even though I'm not progressing. I want more. I know I deserve more. I know I can get more. I'm smarter than that. And even if I can't do it through my company, I need to figure out how to do it outside of my company, because I don't want to be a corporate slave either. Okay, that was a lot.
Okay. No, but thanks for sharing, because I think the main things I'm hearing, and they are connected, are this feeling of feeling behind. Like I'm not where I should be, even though I might be by external standards, and not as financially independent, don't have my own place yet, have not gotten the promotions I want at work. Combined with just like a desire for novelty and excitement. Those are the two most emotional things I'm hearing. Does that sound?
Yes, and desire for something of my own, like something that is driven by me and is not connected to someone giving me a promotion, something that I see wins and losses out of that are connected to my efforts and my understanding of the market or whatever it is. So something that is more, I don't want to treat my company, like my corporate company, as my company. It because it isn't. I am dispensable, just like the 10% of the people laid off today. So I want to create value for myself.
Like you want to be at the helm of something that you're creating. It's almost like this creative burst of energy inside you that's wanting to come out. It's
Yes, because
your.
that has always been me, which is what I. Which is the position, which is the identity that I have created even at my company, because that is me. And I have poured myself into that because I haven't been able to create something of my own because of like the visa constraints. And so I want to be able to pour myself in my own thing that I can reap benefits out of completely. And I fire myself if I do. Like I shut down the things if I do. And I lose if I do, not because the company loses.
So it's not just creativity, that's like half the piece. It's like creativity plus autonomy that you're craving. And so the job can give you doses of creativity. That's like the persona that you have there, and you're admired for it, respected for it, maybe not at the pace that you like, but that is the best part of your job. Like
Yeah,
that's something
I
you do enjoy.
do really like it. I really like my job, which is why I haven't, like, I get a new massive project every year and a half or two. Like, I'm getting bored from this thing. And I basically told my manager, I need a bigger challenge because this is not like I've already done this, like, check mark. And I know I will get it. And he is super supportive of. If you find a people manager role, because I am managing about four people right now directly, and but it's not formal. I am not recognized as a people's manager because these are vendors and interns, but like this is my team. They report into me. And so I think that's like the frustrating piece. So he's like super supportive on if let's find a role. And so like there's no lack of support. It's just, and I have autonomy over my work. Like I, whatever project's given to me, I lead it. However, I'm just dependent on whether the company has funding or not. What are the strategy, the what is the strategy the company finds appropriate, and whether they have the budget to promote me. Like how much are they going to give me versus other people? So it's dependent on other people whether I progress in life or not.
This might sound like we're switching topics, but talk to me a little bit about how you saw your parents make a living or have a career. Like, how did they go about doing
It's
what
so
you're doing
funny you
today?
asked me that, actually. It's like polar opposite. My mom's like the hard worker. My mom works really hard and she loves working. She is crazy about working. She at any point in life has like five different projects, and so like she's invested in real estate, she's investing in startup ideas or like projects, businesses basically. She's working full time and she still wants to do more, all in hospitality. And so she has made something out of herself. Like she started working when she was 18 or 19. So she completed her school and then started working and completed her bachelor's and master's while working. And my dad, super smart, but very lazy, cannot work for someone, cannot work for a company. He has his bachelor's, master's, and has like certifications in finance. And he tried working for a company, could not, started his own firm, and then wanted to dabble in like various ideas on the side. And but is not a successful businessman in a way, only because he loses interest. And so he is like the, he used to be the financial planner of the house, and my mom was more so the owner of the house. And so like I think my mom just loves working no matter what the work is. And so she is more attached to the feeling of working and earning. And my dad was more attached to, is my work giving me satisfaction and pleasure? Is this making me happy? And if it isn't, he would just drop it the next day. He would stay in bed all day if he's not inspired. And I think I got a little bit of both, maybe, because I absolutely love working. And however, I need to work on something that I am passionate about, that I feel inspired by. And I'm only recently starting to, like, earlier on in my early 20s, I wanted to be Forbes 30 under 30, but like not related to finances, but like related to recognition. I think it was more driven by that. But now I think I want the recognition, but I don't crave to be like a Nobel Prize winner or 30 under 40 under 40. No, I'm not even 30. We're beyond past that. But I think they were very, very different people in how they approached their career and their life and decisions and stuff.
And I think as different as they were from each other, I think you're right to say that you got elements of both. Like there's a part of you that wants the constant muse, like something to inspire me, help me get out of bed, something that I have full autonomy over. I can't work for someone else. But I also love the idea of just grinding and working and earning, you
I
know.
like the stability too. Like, I like the idea of having a stable income. I never thought I would last more than 5 years at my company, let alone in the same team. But I think the idea of having that stability throughout the years when the economy's gone up and down and all of those things, that does help me. I also like that I can press pause or I can pull back or pour in as much as I want to, and I've like created that image in my company that I will have a stable place over here. So what that means is I can take back time from my workday if I wanted to. Like, I can finish work within 4 to 5 hours in a day and then put it towards something of my own. And that is what is frustrating me, that even when I have the opportunity to do that, I'm not doing that. It's that I can do better. I don't care about what people think. Like, from market standards, I'm doing really well in life. I have a very stable job. I'm doing well at my job. I have like some real estate investments. I have a good investment portfolio. I have a good relationship. I'm in a great city. So, like, external standards, I'm doing decent, but I'm just not happy because I'm not where I would want to be, far from it.
I'm going to try to summarize your journey and correct me. So, growing up, parents tell you or show you rather, nobody like, no parent like kind of explicitly tells kids always, but you just learn and absorb. And you figure out that this thing about my mom, I like that she's working. I like that she has something to do. I like that she brings in stable income in the house. I like that my dad doesn't like to work for someone, likes to be independent, and his investment in his career ebbs and flows with how inspired or not he is. And that's something that you've also tried to do. So you create this mishmash of the two, but your own persona of like, this is how I'm going to show up in the world. And for the most part, you have done that. And by external measures, everything looks great in this market. You have a job. You have that stability. You get to have a good amount of autonomy within your role. Good city, good person, everything's good. And yet, this lack of motivation that you're feeling is just like, I don't like this. I don't like where this has got me. I just want to normalize, first of all, that that is very common in midlife to do that, to get to that point where you feel like, what is all this for?
I
And
think, sorry, I'm going to correct over there just a little bit. I think it's very different from my 20s, and I know I can have more. Even within my job, I've been told that I deserve 2 to 3 levels up because I'm working at that level. I have shown value, I've shown results at that level. And so from work perspective, from like my company perspective, that is my issue. Like, I know I deserve more and I'm not getting more. I'm getting caught in this big conglomerate or like corporate America, whatever, and world economy and all of those things. And I, as an individual worker, is seeing the consequence of that. I'm not critical to the company, even though I have proved myself over and over again, and my superiors recognize that. So the reason why I'm feeling dissatisfied is because I know I have earned and deserved much more than where I am right now. And then on the personal front, I have lived that life for most of my adult years. And in the last few years, I haven't been able to find something or put towards something that I legally can and feel inspired to grow, build, etc., off my own. So that is my frustration, that I'm not living the life that I would ideally want to live or like where I would want to be because of circumstances. And yeah.
No, I hear you. There's a It's almost like the vision that you had for yourself, you're not able to reach that. And you do believe that it's external things that are limiting you. But I think deep down, there's also a recognition that something internal is
Yes.
limiting you, because it's not like you have to start a company and have a second job in order to have a passion project. Like you could, there are things you could do. And I know from working with you in the past that you have done that don't require any of that, that are either volunteer positions or other things. So I feel that this is a lack of motivation issue, like something about it, you're not able to tap into that creative energy that you know you have, that is ready to come out, but you're not able to access it. Something has happened in your life that it's not able to erupt and create something
Yeah.
in the world.
And I think of like I'm starting to get overly attached to whatever I create. I want to be able to create something out of it, which is why I've stepped back from volunteering and things like those that were taking up my time. I want to create something of my own, even if it is a social influence, social media influencer brand or something like that. And maybe I'm overly attached to it, but I want to create currency that I can use to build. I want to do an investment for myself, in myself, instead of like just giving time to my company, to other organizations.
I hear you. I can feel that that's what you really want. And you know, when you describe your situation, you are talking about yourself, your team, the economy, and all those are important factors. I feel like in situations that are as complex as this, it's good to go underneath the sort of the cognition aspect of it, like why you are in the position you are, and get to something deeper that explains why you are the way you are. And I think it would make more sense when we do a little exercise. So, are you open to doing a little
Yeah.
visualization with me? Okay. So, for this one, feel free to close your eyes and get relaxed, but you can talk to me during it as I ask you questions, okay? So, take a minute to center yourself and just deepen your breath. Deep inhale, long exhale. Really trying to calm your system down so you can access this place that you know you have within you. Now, I want you to imagine your happy place. It can be by the ocean, it can be a forest, it can be any kind of vista that will bring just so much joy in you that you really want to be there. And in this place, I want you to imagine that there's a home where you live, the future you. And this future you has everything that you just named. They are able to create something. They have all this autonomy in how they created. They are able to feel inspired. They're able to act on that inspiration without any confinement. It's just exactly how you want yourself to be. So this future self is there, and you're on the other side of the door. And you want to go in and be this person.
Everything is laid out there. Everything is perfect, exactly how you want it. And you try to open the door to get in, and it's locked. And then a message flashes somewhere near the door. It could be a word, a symbol that tells you why this door is locked. Try to receive that symbol or word.
Discipline.
Stay with that visual. And now you realize that you actually have the key in your pocket, that you can just unlock this door and walk right in to this life. On the key, there's another message, another symbol, maybe. Take the key out of your pocket, feel it, receive that symbol or message.
I think the key would probably be discipline. And I think on the doors, like just the other message that I was feeling was just lack of motivation or, yeah.
Okay, so now you have the key and you walk in and you're actually in this place. All obstructions have been cleared. Tell me how it feels to be.
Pretty good. I feel more fulfilled. I feel more self-reliant. I still feel stable, but I also feel inspired or also relieved in a way that it felt like a really long process to get inside the door, like I was pushing and pushing. But I think that also feels like a win that I pushed through that lull or like of a few years to get past it and create something. I'm closer to the vision and I can actually feel it. And then I think there's also that feeling of, oh, so what's next?
Say more about the oh, so what's next?
I think it's more about the journey and then what I've learned, and I'm here. And so, what am I going to do with what I have now, and where am I going to take it next?
Just stay with your body sensations and tell me when this feeling comes up of like, so what's next? How does it feel in your body?
Both very exciting, but there's like this recognition of, is this a chase? Is this like going to keep continuing? I want to be more deliberate or intentional about that what next.
You're welcome to open your eyes now when you're ready. I believe our psyche does have all the answers. And the answer I'm hearing, and you can tell me if you hear it or not, is of course, I'm not motivated to do anything because, Sarah, as soon as you get to that point, you're going to want to do something else. And I can't keep living in this cycle of chase, that it's always about the next thing. Of course, it's exciting, but I want it to be deliberate because it sounds like we never arrive. We're always striving.
I think in part, yes. I love learning new things. And so while I did that all of my 20s, I did start to burn myself out as well. And then in those instances too, I never saw directions like, where is this even going? I'm just chasing. And so, yes, you're right in that I do want to probably be more intentional. But at the same time, I think I'm struggling with finding that balance between intentionality and direction with lack of like motivation and discipline. I'm missing out on time and like I'm not able to get myself motivated and disciplined to start on something, to even explore.
That is the definition of burnout because it robs you of the energy you need to do that exploration. And you may not call it that. I don't think you started the session calling it that, but you
I don't
said
even feel burnt out though. I feel just lost. I feel like a lot of void without a direction.
So tell me which of these resonates more with you. It's because I don't have anything to go toward. I can't motivate myself to go there. Or I would really like to go toward something, toward anything to figure out what my path is, but I can't find the motivation within me to do that.
I think it's the first one. I think I really want to go towards something and build something. I just can't figure out what it is, and therefore I can't figure out the motivation to go towards it.
So your lack of motivation is just this feeling, this sensation that's trying to tell you, I'm not moving unless we know this is it, that this is what you really want.
And I think, which is why, like, I even stopped volunteering. Like, I've stopped everything because I'm just like, I don't know which direction, except for boxing, which is why I was like, should I just create something around boxing? Because that's the only thing that keeps me sane.
I am well aware of your love for boxing. Like, you could be crying one minute and then be like, okay, I gotta hang up. I have my boxing class now. So I know how important that is to you. I think the key that you saw in your visualization that said discipline and the fact that you wanna find something that's deliberate and intentional, that all seems intertwined to me. As soon as you can find out that this is what I want to create, the motivation will come, the discipline will come. It's because you don't know that it's keeping you in this limbo. It's not the visa issues, it's
I
not
mean, that
the
doesn't help
economy.
because I actually can't start anything. I legally cannot start any idea.
Yeah, you can start it as a legal entity. I understand that as a fellow immigrant myself. But it doesn't mean you have to quash your creativity entirely. That's a very either-or way of thinking, especially because you brought the idea of a creator brand. All it needs is like a person who is really using social media and leveraging it for themselves or for someone else. And building that brand is not prohibited.
The problem is, I haven't felt motivated. I feel like that's the easiest way for me to explore how I can create my brand and what brand sticks the best with people. I need to find that strength in me to post about things, to talk about my journey, to talk about boxing or like anything and figure out what people connect with. I find myself feeling a little lost, and I'm not a social media person.
So one of two things could be happening. This thing that you're saying is it is not
Yeah.
it. Or this thing that you're saying is it, but fear is getting in the way. I also just see you light up when you talk about posting about boxing versus just posting on social media.
Then I think about, okay, even if I want to do boxing, but the problem is I don't have the credentials. I don't have the street cred. Sure, I've been boxing for so long, but there's so many people out there who've been fighting, who've gone into the ring, and they have more like credentials to be able to talk about this. And so do I need to get myself into the ring? Like, am I even qualified enough to post about boxing? And
Tell me.
I feel like I am technically fairly there, and I think it's also to do with my boxing coach. Like, I feel that he is very much so I respect only fighters kind of a person that influences me too. Like he hates influencers, he respects fighters. For me, boxing is like mindfulness, and for him, boxing is like technique and how you show up in the ring and that you keep fighting on. And it is that in a way for me as well. But at the same time, it is also self-growth, self-reflection, meditation, etc.
You're answering your own questions here, but I'll point out to you what you're saying. You're basically saying that, no, actually, there is this thing in my life that is exciting, which is boxing. But every time I think about doing something with it, this voice of my coach almost permeates my head, where it's like, when you box, you do it to fight. It's about how you show up in the arena. It's not about what that personal experience is for you. Is it meditative? Is it grounding? Is it calming the way that you experience boxing? And that voice is so loud that it prevents you from doing the thing that you know you need to do. And we all have that. It's the voice of our ego gets conditioned by other people in our life. And then when we try to go against the norms, that voice gets really loud. It's like, who do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? What makes you qualified to talk about boxing when you don't fight fights? So that's what you're coming up against. That is your resistance. So if you had a coach that looked at you and said, you know what, Sarah? You do boxing in a totally different way. I have never seen anyone who uses boxing for meditation. It's not two things that we ever think about in the same breath. And I think your experience is totally unique. And I think you have so much potential as like a creative person. Why don't you tell the world about it? When I say that, how do you feel?
I think it does take off a big burden from me. And I feel like the more I'm talking to you, I feel like I need that approval from my coach. And I almost need him to tell me, because I want to ask him, how do I get better at techniques? How do I get better at all these things? And how do I convey my voice? Because I think he has a really loud voice. And I think, and I respect him a lot. And I think his voice definitely challenges the voice in my head because we look at boxing very different ways. I would like his approval and I would like his inputs or guidance in this journey then.
Think it's important to recognize how important your coach is to you. Like, you wouldn't have come this far with boxing had it not been for him.
I think he also represents the larger boxing community.
In your head.
Like that's how the community in general thinks. And while I don't want to, that community is important to me. So while I want to grow, and that may not be my target audience, I don't want to offend that community. Or disrespect them or I don't want to be called a clown in that community, like just another influencer kind of a situation.
Yeah, you're afraid that you might get ostracized by them or made fun of. So if I have a healthy functioning ego whose job is to protect me and make sure that I survive in my society, then my ego will create fear, lack of motivation. Ego is so multifaceted. It uses every tool in the book to make sure that I will not go outside that norm. And I think that's what's happening with you. Fundamentally, your ego believes that if you were to ostracize that community, bad things will happen. And you believe that what you're doing is going to do that. So you're just not able to move forward. And some days it might show like, oh, I have the time, but I don't have the discipline. I'm being lazy, or I'm generally unmotivated, or this is about the promotion at work. Like, maybe once I get that, then I can do things. This is about visa regulations. But All those are stories. And I know it's hard to hear that, but all those are stories made by the ego to make sure that you survive. It's like you've got a very healthy ego because it's really using every tool possible to make sure you don't get ostracized. And the way out of this is to gently challenge the story in your head, if you can, or to just explore where the story is coming from. Like, where did you learn that's how you had to be in order to be loved, in order to be accepted? And we may not have time to go into that, but are you at least able to see like what your real block is?
I think so.
Yeah.
I do think it's a combination of a couple of different things, but I do think that's probably where the starting point is. And then I would have to work through the next block and then the next block. But I do think that unless I kind of appease or challenge or satisfy that part, I will feel like somewhat of a phony. Not being able to truly actually put myself out there.
Yeah. One of the beliefs that this narrative is constructed on is that he represents the entire boxing community. Might I say you're part of that community and he does not represent you in some ways. So if you're looking for proof in the external world, because sometimes it's hard to start internally, if you're looking for proof in the external world, I guarantee that if you found one more person who experienced boxing or could experience boxing the way you do, it would show you that narrative will start to fall apart and it'll poke holes, and you will realize that there might be more people out there that resonate with what you have to say. Is there a way you can try to find someone like
Yeah,
that?
I already started thinking of people, and I was like, okay, should I talk to her?
You always have the answers. So, yeah, I think the short answer is you should talk to her and then see where this goes. Is that something you think you'll be able to do after our session at some point?
Yeah, I think so. And I think I also want to get out of my head and talk to my coach itself. Like maybe he doesn't believe all of those things, or maybe I find something that I think he also respects and appreciates.
He has his own ego too, right? There are things that he thinks are appropriate to say and do and not say and not do that will help him survive and thrive. And I think that's the beauty of sharing our authentic self, is that you have no idea who is repressing theirs just to fit in, and then you're able to connect with them.
Okay, I have
Yeah.
homework.
You have homework. So that was Sarah and her story. Thank you for listening. And I have so much to say about this session because I would never miss a good teaching opportunity. So let's dive right in. The first thing we want to see is her persona. So as our persona is developing, it does not develop in isolation. It really is about our conditioning, how our parents taught us, how broader culture taught us to be. And it's our way of feeling loved and accepted and respected by that culture. So you can see with Sarah that her mother had a type of persona and her father had his own persona. And growing up, she was able to pick and choose elements from both. Sometimes we can turn out just like our mom. Sometimes we can turn out just like our dad. Sometimes we combine them. Sometimes we dislike one parent so much that we have to be the opposite of this parent. If this parent was irresponsible, I'm going to be responsible, and so on. So you can see that she's able to identify that looking at her mother, looking at her father, she was able to arrive at this version of herself where she needs to always be working. Being productive, having that stability, but also always be creatively inspired. So she needs that muse, she needs that passion project on the side to make sure that she's fulfilled. One or the other will not cut it for her. And it sounds like a great persona. It actually sounds so complete, right? Like, oh, here's this person. They're not just going to do their boring 9 to 5. They're also going to do these other things. But anything, no matter how good it is, if we have to be that way, becomes limiting. So now Sarah is not able to maintain that persona. Because after years and years of doing that, years and years of having a job, having a venture on the side, having a passion project on the side, having a job, volunteering on the side, the psyche is just protesting and it's saying, what are you doing? You keep building this persona up. We need to do something else. I'm going to retreat. I'm going to silently protest this way of being by withdrawing my energy, and you're now going to be unmotivated. So the psyche presents with resistance to Sarah's plan, and it looks like confusion. It looks like lack of motivation. So now Sarah thinks that, oh, like, what's going on? I need to do something differently. She feels this uneasiness. She doesn't feel happy. So she starts to make that exploration. That's when we do the visualization and all the discussion after that. And in that visualization, when she gets to the place where she has all this, when she's at this epic persona that she's been trying to cultivate, trying to seek, she realizes that she doesn't feel fulfilled by it, that there's a sense of what's next, but the next never comes. So you're always in the chase. And no wonder her unconscious is protesting and saying, I don't want to do that. Not again. Once again, you're going to do all this and it's not going to do what I'm here for, which is to live my dharma, which is to live my purpose. So she hits this wall of resistance. And as she peeks behind it, the answer is so unique. Like, I didn't think, she didn't think, and I'm sure you all listening didn't think that boxing is the thing that she wants to do something with. She sees it in a different way from what most popular culture does, and she wants to say that. And if you notice, like, her body language changed totally when she talked about it. So she always had that answer within her, and all this confusion, lack of motivation was just masking the problem. So when she went toward it, the answer emerged. Now, just because you have the answer doesn't mean that now you're going to be like, all systems go, let's just do it. When you do that, the ego understandably gets scared because you're about to step outside the bounds of the persona, and I can't let that happen. And that's when fear arises. And fear, again, it's just the body's alarm system telling you, don't do that. That could mean trouble. But it doesn't mean you have to heed to it. If you start to go through that fear, move through that fear, you will find all the energy you need to pursue the thing that you're meant to do. And when that message comes from the inside, it's loud and clear. You don't have to worry about whether that's the right thing to do. All your doubts go away. You have the fear, but you move forward despite it. It resonates with you in a way that other stuff doesn't. So in Sarah's case, she's not able to find the motivation to chase yet another promotion at work. You know, she's trying, but she's not able to do that. She's also not changing her jobs or starting some kind of passion project or volunteering, because deep down, she knows that that's not going to help. What's going to help is to be transparent with the world about her experience with boxing. And that's what she needs to do. And it takes courage to answer that call. But if you find that courage, you can't unsee what you just see. And you will have to move forward. It's like once you start the process, you have to go through it. And that's why so many of us don't try to look beyond our laziness. We just try to whip ourselves back into being our persona. But once you see it and you can't unsee it, you know what your real path is. And that's the clarity that comes from going towards something uncomfortable. So what does all this mean for you? We talked a lot today. We saw Sarah's journey, her own discovery of what it means for her to feel this uneasy feeling despite everything looking great on the outside.
I urge you to look at your life and see, are you feeling lazy? Are you feeling unmotivated? Are you so desperate to not be labeled those things that you're not even turning toward them? Please turn toward them. Look at them, examine them. Your psyche is just trying to communicate with you, and it's going to get louder and louder until you pay attention. So pay attention. It might tell you something you don't know. And secondly, there may be something you already know that you know you're not doing. And if that quiet voice has been there in the background for a long, long time, just like boxing was for Sarah, I want you to pay attention to it and give it space in your life to come out. You have no idea if you allow yourself to go there, how much energy you might generate in your own life from that pursuit, and everything else would fall into place. So that's it for today. Thank you for joining. Thank you for absorbing all of this information that I threw at you. And please answer the call of the psyche. Thank you, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for being my partner in Sublime today. I hope you enjoyed diving into the unconscious with me. To ask a question or get coached on the show, visit shagunchopra.com/ask or click the link below. See you next time.